Podplay.
Tiotusentals supportrar samlas för en fantastisk fotbollsfest. Vuxna män och kvinnor åker långt för att se sitt Liverpool. Och mammor och pappor skickar iväg sina tonåringar för att se på match.
96 av dem, barn, ungdomar och vuxna, kommer aldrig att komma hem igen. De dör i folkmassan på Hillsborough-stadion. Mitt på läktaren, där människor kläms ihjäl, står 17-åriga Richard Moore.
Välkommen till Jag var där, en dokumentär från Podplay av Andreas Utterström och Mattias Bergman.
Unfortunately, the UK has suffered its heaviest losses here. We're hearing that there've been many casualties.
Mit nam är Richard. Just nu jag sitter i Danmark.
Richard Moore, född i England men skåning sedan över 20 år. Han talar svenska. Men han är känslomässig, är det enklare för honom att prata engelska.
It's difficult sometimes talking about, you know, the yard parts.
Of course.
Especially, you know, talking about when you're in the ground and then you just feel you know, I could have been, you know, number 97.
Nej, Richard blev inte nummer 97. Han överlevde katastrofen på Hillsborough-stadion. 1989 är Richard 17 år och bor i London, men hans lag är Liverpool.
I love the sport football and I became a massive fan during the 80s, you know.
Han bor i London och tar tåget med supporterföreningen till matcherna.
Oh, it was absolutely, it was buzzing. I mean, the whole city. We had successful teams, we were winning things, you know, we were getting to FA Cup finals, Liverpool, Everton playing against each other. Liverpool at the time was football mad. It was absolutely, we loved it. You know, going to Liverpool, going, you know, paying your money on the day to go and stand on the cop, you know, it's just fantastic feeling. I just loved everything about Liverpool, the team, the players. They were my heroes, you know? I mean, I looked up to them.
Vi pratar om ett av världens bästa lag i världens mest omskrivna fotbollsliga.
Back in the day, you know, everything was safe and everyone sort of watched out for each other, and you know, there was quite a lot of hooliganism in the time, but you know, we as a group, we always sort of kept away from any sort of problems like that. You know, if you wanted trouble, you would obviously find it. But if you didn't want any trouble, you know, you're perfectly safe. You can just stay away from things like that, you know.
Men det här ska inte handla om dålig supporterkultur, utan om fans som kämpar för varandras liv.
Lördagen den 15 april 1989 ska Liverpool möta Nottingham Forest. Det är semifinal i FA-cupen.
You know, when you get to a semi-final, it's absolutely massive. It's a massive game. It's you know, something you can't really contemplate here in Sweden about how important an FA Cup semi-final was.
Matchen spelas på neutral plan i Sheffield. Tågresan från London tar ett par timmar.
Met up with the supporters club. Everyone was, you know, really in a good mood, and we can't wait to, you know, to get to Sheffield. So we, you know, we all jump on the train and we're doing the usual stuff, playing cards, and we're, you know, having a good sing song, and you know, I mean, the atmosphere was great. It was such a really nice day as well. The weather was great. Everything was just perfect.
Richard och hans kompis Joe har haft tur och fått biljetter till sitt plats. men på tåget lyckas de byta dem mot ståplatsbiljetter.
And we thought, yeah, brilliant, because that's where we want to be. We want to be behind the goal. We want to be with the, you know, we want to stand, we want to sing all game, and we just want that, you know, the atmosphere that you get standing behind the goal. You know, we had Leppings Lane in tickets.
Leppings Lane, namnet på kortsidan där Liverpool-supporterna ska stå. Den här dagen ska namnet bli oförglömligt.
När de två tågvagnarna fyllda med fotbollsälskare kommer till stationen i Sheffield sätts de på bussar. Som en fårskock, som Richard säger. Polisen vill ha kontroll och eskortera dem till arenan. De är i mycket god tid till matchstart klockan 3.
Ah, Hillsborough. It's one of those kind of old school stadiums. Quite old, old facilities, dating a little bit. At the time, hooliganism was quite rife, and you know, Liverpool fans were placed into the smallest end of the ground. All these pens were kind of like designed to cage in the, you know, the football fans to prevent any hooliganism. When we were outside of Leppings Lane, just before we were coming in, you know, you'd come up to the turnstiles, you know, few police, a few stewards, go up there with your ticket, make sure you cover your ticket, because there's people out there who would just steal your ticket and run off. So then you'd hand in your ticket to the turnstile. The steel barrier would go round, you know, clunk, clunk, clunk. The first thing that you see when you get through those turnstiles is this big tunnel where you can almost just about see the pitch in the background. So, you know, you just immediately head down this tunnel. All around the, you know, as you're then looking at the pitch, you've got this big, very, very high fence towering above your head, trying to keep, you know, it's designed to keep the fans locked into the ground.
Vändkors, en cementtunnel där man skymtar planen. Läktaren är skarpt avdelad i olika sektioner, pens. Med höga stängsel som ser till att ståplatspubliken håller sig inne. Nej, Hillsborough stadion 1989 ser inte ut som dagens arenor. Richard och hans kompisar är tidigt på plats på läktaren. 10 meter upp från planens kortsida bakom målet, lätt till höger.
We there was me, Joe, there was my Liverpool mate Sean, there was other friends from the Liverpool Supporters Club, there was my friend Marion McCabe.
Marion, en av supporterna som har blivit Richards vän.
Yeah, she used to sit with us on the train, and she used to kind of, yeah, we used to mingle, and, you know, and she ended up being a good friend. And I remember I think it was that season or the season before, I actually broke my leg, and I was on crutches, and we ended up going to Old Trafford to Manchester United, and she was the one person who would sort of stay behind, make sure I was okay, make sure I'd hobble to the bus, make sure I'd hobbled into the stadium.
Yeah, that sounds like a loyal friend.
Yeah, she's she was 21, I was 17, so she kind of looked down to me and wanted to look after me, you know. Mm. Yeah.
Det här kommer att bli sista dagen som de ses.
Leppings Lane rymmer 10 000 personer, men den här dagen kommer 25 000 att vara där. Ungefär en halvtimme före avspark klockan 3 börjar fans strömma in på läktarsektionerna.
Yeah, it started getting quite packed. You know, to a point where you couldn't move, but that was still kind of normal, you know. It wasn't you didn't really think anything of it. So then Marion, she says goodbye, so she normally goes all the way down to the front, and she stands, you know, always wanted to be at the front. Yeah, that was her speciality. She always wanted to go down and stand behind the fence. Mm. Always. That was her thing.
Stämningen stiger. Ramsorna skanderas. Spelarna kommer ut. Allt är som en vanlig fotbollsfest, om den någonsin blir vanlig.
Yeah, we were all chatting away there, you know, as you do. Yeah. just waiting for the game to start. You know, you'd see the players come out for their warm up. You know, Bruce Grobbelaar would be there, messing around with the fans, kicking the ball over, and we'd kick it back, and you know, it was good.
Det är en kvart kvar till kickoff och fotbollsfesten kan börja. Då förändras någonting.
The pressure that, you know, the fans around you, the pressure just got stronger and stronger and stronger, and you'd move forward, you'd normally move backwards, and that was what was happening, you know, with the fans, you know, so you'd get a big surge forward and then the surge would go backwards, and you know, that was the normal thing. But it started going where, you know, you'd get a surge from behind and then it never went back again.
Att följa med en våg av människor på ståplats är normalt. Men den här vågen som trycker på, den vänder inte som den brukar. Det är på väg att ske en crush.
Yeah, the pressure was so bad that my you know, I wasn't actually standing up. My feet was off the ground. And then you get another surge, and then you just feel the, you know, gradually you feel the pressure getting stronger and stronger. And then Sean had already gone. I don't know where Sean went, actually, because I just can't remember. But Joe said to me, he just said, fuck this. He said, I'm going over the fence. He kind of, someone pulled him over, or someone, you know, or he climbed over himself. And then I wanted to stay just a bit longer, just to be where I wanted to be.
Mängder av supportrar strömmar nu in i arenans entré. Övervakningskamerorna vid vändkorsen visar på oroande trängsel. Richard vet inte det här än, men den ansvariga polischefen David Duckenfield beslutar att öppna utgångarna så att publik kan lämna de trånga sektionerna. Men istället kommer naturligtvis fler supportrar in istället för att ta sina platser. Och den plats de hamnar på är de två redan överfyllda sektionerna, där som Richard står.
You're trying to fight people off to get, you know, to push people away to get some air. Anyway, by that time I'd moved maybe 5 meters forward into the bottom right corner. And then this guy, this big guy on the side of the fence, he put his arm down and he was trying to pull me out. And he just couldn't pull me out. The pressure was so much on me, you know.
Supportrar söker skydd genom att ta sig upp på murar och stängsel. Polisen överväger att skjuta upp matchstarten för att bringa ordning, men så blir det inte. Situationen är livsfarlig, samtidigt som det ute på plan börjar närma sig avspark. Sektionen där Richard står börjar bli överfylld av människor.
The guy grabbed hold of me for the second time, and then he managed to just pull me out of the crowd, you know. And as soon as he pulled me out of the crowd, I was on the, you know, I was over the fence. Luckily for me, I managed to go upwards and not downwards. I think if I went downwards, I would have been gone. God knows what would have happened to me if that guy would not have pulled me out when he did.
En okänd man räddar Richard över till nästa läktardel. Där är det gott om plats, luft och frihet. Richard har klarat sig. Domaren blåser. Matchen inleds, men katastrofen är redan ett faktum. De som vill ut från läktaren kan inte röra sig.
And I could see what was going on from the other side, you know, from the other side of the fence. I mean, all I could see was bodies really crushed against this, you know, steel. It was like bars at the prison. You know, if you imagine the steel bars, you know, and you got people crushed against it, you see all their ribs and everything.
Desperata supportrar är instängda i sektionerna 3 och 4. De som kan flyr i panik genom att klättra upp på den övre läktaren eller över andra människor. Och hjälpsamma hjältar som tagit sig upp på stängslen sträcker sig ner för att försöka lyfta upp andra.
Your immediate reaction is just to, right, oh God, we've got to help these people, you know. So I jumped on top of the fence. I'm standing on top of the fence, They couldn't breathe. They were screaming. They needed help. You're trying to pull these people out, but it doesn't matter how hard you pull. You just can't pull the people out. They are just crushed, locked in. You've basically pulled the arm off before you can pull the body out. Oh, it was just chaotic. I just didn't care about the game. I remember this old man who came over people's heads. He went right past my face. So all the fans were trying to get him out, and he was grey. He was absolutely grey. He looked dead, and it just dawned on to me what on earth is going on. We're at a football match.
Andra matchminuten. Bollen är i spel. Supportrar lyckas nu börja ta sig ut på plan i säkerhet. Andra är kvar bakom stängslet i en dödsfälla. De skriker till målvakten Bruce Grobbelaar som står bara några meter framför dem. Bruce, hjälp oss! Grobbelaar skriker till en polis. Öppna den jävla porten! Hon svarar att hon inte har någon nyckel. Grobbelaar kan följa hur människor kläms ihjäl men kan inget göra. Han skriver senare i sina memoarer att han hör hur luften går ur dem.
I got off the fence and I just sort of moved about 4 meters away and then I saw Joe and Sean. They were standing there watching the game. And I just said to, I shouted at them both. I said, do you know what's going on? Do you know what's happening? There's people dying over there. You know, and they just didn't believe it. Joe realized what was going on, and we were shouting at the police officer on the other side of the fence at the front to get the gate open, just unlock the gate so we can take these injured people, get them to an ambulance or something, you know. And the police officer was just looking at us and just not doing anything, just standing there without a care in the world.
15.03. Skott på Nottingham-målet. Träff i ribban. Flyende supportrar tar sig över stängseln till andra läktardelar eller ut på plan. Men groteskt nog är bollen fortfarande i spel.
Fans, at that time, fans started to congregate on the other side of the fence to try and get to these fans who were when I went round to the front of the centre pen and I saw what I saw, I just couldn't believe it. There was people with their eyes closed and just bodies piled on top of them, and you just saw faces looking at you with an eye half open and the other eye half closed, and you just couldn't do anything about it. They were all trapped behind this meshed fence. I have flashbacks every 15th of April, and it's just horrible. You can't describe, you know, what I saw and what I felt. Yeah.
Läkare klättrar över stängslet för att ta sig in på läktaren. 14 minuter efter avspark rullar nu en kantig vaniljvit brittisk ambulans in på fotbollsplanen.
Oh no, within minutes there were fans coming over the fence. In their droves, lined there. They were just, lying there, lifeless on the pitch. And, you just never forget when, you see people sort of, putting their jackets over their faces, because they're dead. They're past, they're lying on the pitch dead. And you just can't believe it. You're sort of there for a football match. Fans everywhere, police everywhere, don't know what to do. The police are helping out by this time.
Skadade och döda bärs ut på reklamskyltar. En gymnastiksal i närheten fylls av döda kroppar.
Yeah, then sort of fans spilled onto the pitch. It was just chaos. There was people everywhere trying to give people the kiss of life. There were people resuscitating people on the pitch. There were people looking after people. There were people taking fans to ambulances, and all you can see is heads in pain and distress. And yeah, I was with Joe at that time, and we saw this fan lying on the pitch who really needed help, and he was on his own. So yeah, me and Joe, we don't know who he was. We just picked him up, and we walked him to where a lot of the other Liverpool fans were taking the injured, which was all the way at the far end of the pitch, at the Nottingham Forest end. I'll never forget walking past those Nottingham Forest fans at that end. You know, they're all shouting horrible things and, you know, get off the pitch, you scouse this, you scouse that. And some of them were clapping us and some of them not. And in the corner, so we just picked him up and sort of walked him slowly across the pitch and took him into this area where they were putting all the injured and the dead people.
Alla ser att något fruktansvärt har hänt, men hur har det gått till? Nottingham-supportrar som inte förstår skrattar åt Liverpool-supportrarna när de bärs ut skadade. Kanske tror de att supportervåld har orsakat crushen.
And me and Joe, we were just kind of like we sat in the middle of the pitch, and we just couldn't believe I just couldn't believe it. And I said to Joe, I said, look, let's just go and sit down over there in the stand. And ironically, that was where my original ticket was supposed to be, in this stand. Yeah, I started crying my eyes out. We were both really upset, and yeah, we just didn't know what to do. And we just sat there and then They made an announcement saying that the game was abandoned.
Matchen avbryts officiellt i matchminut 30. Hillsborough är ingen arena längre, utan en katastrofplats.
You know, you got to imagine back in the day, no one had any telephones. You know, you can just imagine, you know, your mum and dad, your parents at home watching it on television. You know, everyone's sort of worried about you and everything, and then we just wanted to, yeah, just get out the stadium and kind of look for a telephone. We found a row of terraced houses, and there was nice people from Sheffield. They were asking us to come into their houses so we can use their phones. I called my mum and dad and told them I was okay. Mum was absolutely, yeah, oof. Yeah, she was frantic, my mum was.
Richard och Joe har inget annat att göra än att försöka ta sig hem.
Yeah, me and him, we were alone amongst all these Nottingham Forest supporters. And unfortunately we got attacked by these Nottingham Forest fans. There was some nice Nottingham Forest fans. They looked after us. They threw us in the back of an ambulance. Just for our safety, basically. So we waited in there for 20 minutes. We had a few punches thrown at us, but we were kind of okay.
Liverpool-supporterna kom till Sheffield med hoppet om att få fira en seger. Men vägen tillbaka till London sörjer de tillsammans.
We got on the train and then everyone was waiting for people, and I mean it was chaos. People were crying and I'll never forget that. You know, and then there was the train set off and there was so many people missing. You know, where are they? You know, are they alive? Are they dead? Or, you know, are they probably just missed the train because they probably couldn't get back to the train station in time because they had to walk it and all this.
Den värsta läktarkatastrofen i brittisk fotboll är ett faktum. 94 personer har dött på stadion, ytterligare en person avlider på sjukhus dagen efter och en långt senare efter att ha legat i koma i 4 år. Det yngsta dödsoffret är 10 år. 766 personer skadas.
Yeah, the train went St Pancras. It was about a 2-hour journey, 2.5-hour journey. And, you know, we just got off there and we just got the underground and we went home. That was it. I was so happy to be home. You know, mum was crying. Dad was, yeah, he was all over the place. And we just sort of like watched a bit of television, saw that, you know, how many people had died. And I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe 40, 50 people who had died at that time. And then we just turned the television off and that was it. I went to bed. I just didn't want to watch anymore. I just was in so much shock. The following morning, woke up and dad went to the newspaper shop just around the corner. And then he sort of, the Sunday Mirror. And on the center pages, there was a colored picture of two fans crushed against the mesh. At the front of the terrace. Yeah, and yeah, the girl, she had all blue paint in her teeth. You know, she'd try to bite her way through the mesh. And then I saw it as Marion. Yeah, so when you see your friend sort of, you know, plastered across the newspapers, yeah, it's horrible, absolutely horrible. So I just went out for a walk and I put on my Liverpool scarf and I just went to the church. It was Sunday. I thought, where am I going to go? I just went to the church and I put my Liverpool scarf in the church and I just left it there.
Marion McCabe, alltså Richards vän som alltid skulle stå så nära plan som möjligt.
Dagarna efter är Hillsborough den stora nyheten i alla medier.
Yeah, the news agent, you know, I knew him really well and he said, Richard, you're in the newspaper. I said, oh, what, where? And then he showed me a picture of me and Joe carrying that fan when we was on the pitch. So, yeah, quite a poignant thing to see. And then that was the last time I bought the Sun newspaper because there was a lot of lies written.
Lögner. Tidningen The Sun är den populistiska tabloid som slår hårdast av alla i Storbritannien. Nu gör de en första sida med rubriken The Truth.
It was horrible. Horrible read, absolutely disgusting things to write on a newspaper.
Tidningen skriver att Liverpool-fans har bestulit liken på deras pengar, urinerat på poliser och till och med slagit ner en polis som genomfört mun-mot-mun-metoden. Det kommer att bli ett av de mest ökända mediehaverierna genom tiderna. Mängder av Liverpool-fans vägrar än idag att ens befatta sig med tidningen The Sun. Men skadan är redan skedd.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that. It was absolute lies and nonsense. I just kind of switched off. I didn't want to hear about it anymore. And I just didn't want to talk about it. Or I just switched off and I kind of like snapped into my old normal routine. It was quite surreal, really.
Katastrofen gör att brittisk fotboll pausas i 3 veckor. Sen ska ligan och kuppen spelas klart på kort tid. Spelschemat blir hektiskt. Och Richard försöker vara som vilken supporter som helst som går på matcherna.
We ended up going to most of those. And it was just odd. I can't remember. I can't actually remember going to the games. I don't know if they were just meaningless or I don't know. The first game we went back to, you know, we'd do the normal thing. We met at Euston Station, and then that's when we found out who had died. And we knew Marion was on the list, but you know, when we put names to pictures and all that, and it was, yeah, that was quite a that was really sad too. Everyone was quite down and sad. And
Liverpool spelar till slut sin FA Cup semifinal mot Nottingham Forest. Sen vinner laget FA Cup-finalen mot Everton, men förlorar ligasegern i sista stund mot Arsenal. Men resultat och bucklor betyder ingenting säsongen 1988-1989. Hillsborough överskuggar allt.
God blimey, that was horrible. You know, just thinking about the season, what had happened at Hillsborough, standing in that crowd, just, you know, everybody, I've saw so many people crying their eyes out, not just for the game, but memories, you know, all that horror just coming back to people. And yeah, it was unbelievable. It was that 1989, I'll never ever forget.
Hillsborough var 30 minuter av katastrof som slutat i över 30 år av utredningar.
After about 6 months, you know, I was home alone. I got a knock on the door. I think it was the South Yorkshire Police. They knew I was at Hillsborough, and they wanted to come and take a statement. And that was it, really. That sort of brought back all the memories back again, and it was a horrible time for a week or so. And then, you know, years went by. I just kind of like, I shut it all away. I don't know how I did it. Maybe it was because of my age.
Familjerna till de 96 döda har år efter år kämpat för att få upprättelse.
I'll be honest, I never ever thought anything was gonna come off it. I always knew that, you know, we were innocent. We didn't do anything wrong. The aftermath of the Hillsborough disaster, the politicians, the police, they tried to lay a blame on Liverpool fans. As far as I'm concerned, you know, when I was on that terrace just before the kickoff, and all of a sudden all those fans came in all at once, and you just got a crush after crush after crush. You just know this isn't normal. How did this happen?
Katastrofen på Hillsborough handlade inte om supportrar som misskötte sig, utan om bristande säkerhet och dåliga beslut.
We were just your average football fan, your average person going to see a football match, and then 96 fans never came home. There wasn't any football hooliganism on the day. Fans didn't break in the stadium or anything like that. The exit gates was opened, and it was pure negligence. So the person who gave that order to open that gate surely must be held accountable. The police and the stewards let a disaster like that happen. Where is the fan control? Where is the police control? Where's the stewards directing the fans? None of it.
Den ansvariga polischefen David Duckenfield hamnar i centrum när sanningen ska fram.
I've always wanted that one police officer, Sergeant Duckenfield, brought to justice, because he was the one who ordered those gates, those exit gates, to be opened. Who gave the order to open the gates? Oh, it was Sergeant Duckenfield. Right then, where did all the fans go? They wanted to go and watch the game. Surely that's manslaughter. In the court case, they found him not guilty. I just couldn't believe it.
Det har kallats Englands längsta rättstvist. Vad som hände i detalj på Hillsborough stadion tog ända in på 2010-talet att enas kring. Supporternas oskyldiga roll och polisens ödesdigra misstag.
Then I think in 2012, the Prime Minister Cameron, he issued an apology to all the victims' families. I remember that. The fans were all cleared of any wrongdoing, which was for me an absolute relief, because you kind of live in all those years, you know, when I got into my 30s, and all these investigations, you're starting to think, oh, I'm a survivor. Why did I survive? Why couldn't I help more people? Why couldn't I help that guy more I couldn't pull him out of the crush? You get guilt, you know, and I struggled with guilt throughout all this. And when they had that court case, and then they said, right, Liverpool fans were exonerated of all blame, you know, that was a massive, massive relief to me.
Hillsborough-katastrofen förändrar engelsk fotboll för alltid. Den blir avstampet för att den nya serien Premier League skapas. Arenorna förändras. Biljettpriserna stiger. Och publiken förändras.
It's made me... I think my first 10 years or so, I kind of forgot about it. I put it away. When the inquest started and things started to happen, I don't know if the right word is made me a bitter person, or, but I had anger in me. I was jumpy. I'd lose my temper quickly. I was quite stressed. Every 15th of April, you kind of, you know, I always want my alone time, so I can just be alone and have a really good cry, and you know. I think the whole thing about Hillsborough, it's come to me worse in these last, I don't know, 10, 12 years or so. So I feel more passionately and strong about it. I've got more emotions the older I get. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, you look in social media, you can read more. So you see more of it nowadays, you know. But back in the day, you never had any social media to keep reminding you of things, you know?
Does it still give you nightmares?
Yes, 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 yes. I think about it quite a lot, actually. You know, being in that crowd, and especially when, you know, the guy tried to pull me out and he couldn't pull me out. And I thought, shit, you know, I was struggling to breathe.
De många tvisterna har gjort att Hillsborough stannat som ett öppet sår för många. Den 15 april är aldrig någon vanlig dag för en Liverpool-supporter.
You know, there's been so much focus on the families of the victims, which is, you know, yeah, rightly so, but everybody's forgotten about the survivors, that we have to carry the trauma with us. 30 odd years of living with this trauma, which we get every single year. Some survivors, they struggle daily with this. You know, we've got social media, and yeah, it's you can make social media into a good thing, because we've got a really, really good group, the Hillsborough Survivors Group in Liverpool. They've got a program to help fans recover from their post-traumatic stress. I haven't necessarily needed that help yet, but I've been to I've met up with a group twice when I've been to Liverpool recently. We can talk about it. We can cry. We can hug each other. We can shout at each other. We can do whatever we want. But we're you know, it's a great group. I can go to the game and I can enjoy the game. I think I can go to the game. I can enjoy the game. You know, I go to most of the away games in Europe whenever we play in the Champions League. So, yeah.
Did you ever go back to Hillsborough?
I went back once to see. I went to watch a game, Croatia against Denmark. I was still in my 20s, so, you know, early 20s, and it wasn't affecting me that badly back then. Would I go to Hillsborough now? Absolutely not. I don't think I can go back again. The survivors group in Liverpool, they do trips on the 15th of April back to Hillsborough. At the moment, I don't think I want to.
Richard Moore flyttar till Sverige för ett jobb. Han bildar familj och lever vidare.
I was there, I saw it happen. I just get flashbacks. It's quite difficult for me doing this interview as well now. At the same time, I think it's good that it's out there because it's educational. It teaches people, it shows people what we went through back then. That was how football was back then. And then also it was a disaster which should not have happened.
Minnena är svåra, men Richard bevarar dem ändå så att historien om Hillsborough inte ska glömmas bort. Det märks till och med på hans bil där han har sin personliga reggskylt 96 YNWA. Samma siffra som dödsoffren på stadion. Och bokstäverna är en förkortning av You Never Walk Alone.
I drive hundreds of kilometers every week. You get fans, you know, pipping the horn, waving at you. You get a guy comes up to me, he says, "Oh, you'll never walk alone." I said, "Yes." He said, "But what does the 96 mean?" And then I just quickly give him a 1 minute chat about the 96. He said, "Oh, I'm going to go and read about that now." Trying to show people that there's history. And yeah, it's quite amazing how it's affected my life. You know, imagine I was 17 and now I'm nearly 50. Mm. You know, you just can't have enough of Liverpool Football Club. Mm. And you're kind of like, as a survivor, I know it's a weird thing to say, but you respected a little bit, and you know, everybody knows that, you know, you've had hell, you know, and you are one of the true supporters of the club.
Podplay, en del av